In 10 days, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to yet another episode of the Shock Factor podcast here on the D1 Baseball Podcast Network. And this week, we have a very exciting one because this week we are going to hear from Coastal Carolina Chanticleer Blake Barthel, who in the course of 1 week, 7 days, he hit 7 home runs. With home runs coming in games against Michigan and teams like Wake Forest in the midweek, he's just been really impressive. His other home run was against USC Upstate, if that's something you're interested in. But he's just a really impressive hitter, and I loved hearing about his approach at the plate. And honestly, he's just a cool dude to talk to. He really seems like he's got it figured out. He's playing baseball down by the beach. He's having a great time and enjoying the process, which, you know, hitting 7 home runs. And he also had a double, which I think got overlooked a lot because it was a really good double, you know. I think doubles are harder to achieve than home runs in some instances. And clearly for Blake, it's harder for him to hit doubles because he hit so many home runs. But after we hear from Blake and after we talk to him about his experience playing college baseball and how he got to this point in his life, we're going to go through 3 or 4 series that I'm very excited about this weekend that I think are going to be the most interesting ones of the weekend just because of how the way the matchups lie. And then after that, we're going to go over some statistical leaders in D1 baseball and just kind of keep an eye on the home run and strikeout race. So make sure to stay tuned for that. But without further ado, we're going to take a short break from our sponsors, and then we will be back to the action with Blake Barthel. Have you heard of the 2025 Soldier Tank BB Core Baseball Bat by Soldier Sports? This isn't just any bat, it's lighter and hotter than any of its predecessors. This is thanks to its infused alloy technology that allows an ultra-big, ultra-hot sweet spot. Crafted from over 2.5 years of research and development, the Soldier Tank is the perfect blend of speed and power. Designed for both power and contact hitters, it features a formula for success. Speed times mass times impact equals extreme power. I've seen it swung. Even the miss hits have juice with the Soldier Tank. The bat is priced at an incredible $311, which is well worth it, in my opinion, to be swinging the top-scoring BB Core bat ever. They're selling out fast, though, so head over to soldiersports.us to secure yours today. And now back to the action. What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Shock Factor podcast on the D1 Baseball Network, and this is a very exciting one. They're all pretty exciting, but this one, I'll say it, is very exciting. We are joined by Coastal Carolina's Blake Barthel, who this week went absolutely insane on the baseball field. We will get into that, but first of all, Blake, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Now, one thing that has kind of brought my mood down a little bit, and this will be good for the listeners who are watching this on YouTube as well. Your beard is leaps and bounds so much better than mine. I got to start off with asking, do you use oils? Are there any products? Or are you just all natural? The beard just happens that way. Because I got this patchy mess that I'm trying to work through.
Yeah, it's all natural. I don't use anything on it. People rip on me for growing it, they say, in 8th grade, but I think it was more like summer of sophomore year.
So that's a textbook. That's good shaming, though. That's all that is. I wish I had a sick beard in 8th grade. I am 27, yeah, and I am still fighting, still wishing for that beard. But I got to give you props for that because, I mean, of course, everyone watches you this week. They notice, okay, he hits 7 home runs in a span of 7 days. That's insane. I'm watching it. I can't take my eyes off the beard. These home runs are flying at an alarming rate. And I'm like, this kid's supposed to be how much younger than me? But getting into your week in baseball, it was absolutely insane. You know, last season as a freshman, I'm sure you know this, you hit 7 home runs. This week as a sophomore, literally 7 days, you hit 7 home runs and 1 double, which I think, you know, gets overlooked because doubles are hard to do. I feel like they're a little bit harder than home runs at times because you got to hustle, right?
Yeah, for real.
Now, in this insane week, did you have a particular home run that you looking back are like, wow, that was my favorite. This one really stood out? Or were they all just like, I love every home run equally?
I think my favorite, well, the one I felt the best with was the one, it was my second home run. Who was that against? It was one that
Michigan.
went opposite field. Yeah, it was definitely, it was Michigan. Went opposite field, it was kind of left center. I just feel like I took probably my best swing of on that one.
No, that's great. And I love that too, because of course, the furthest home runs are always the coolest. But I love the backside bombs. I love the opposite field bombs. I feel like they're way harder to do as a hitter. Now, with your approach at the plate, has anything changed from freshman year to sophomore year to where you're hitting more? Or is it just a fact of like, okay, I'm getting bigger and stronger, getting older, and I'm just naturally gonna, hit a little bit better?
It's changed a little bit, of course, because adjusting from last year. But right now I'm just focusing on fastballs down the middle and then adjust off speed. So it's really simple, but recently I caught myself of looking at zones of looking at. So like fastball a little lower, but middle of the zone. That's what I've been looking at.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, it's clearly been working. I'm sure with, the week you've had and the season, the start you've really gotten off to has been insane. I don't want to overlook that with the fact that, just last week in general was absolutely nuts. But leading up to that week has also been pretty insane. You've been getting a ton of hits, but I imagine people might start pitching you a little different, and I feel like you are one of those hitters where you can drive the ball with authority to all fields, so it seems like your swing and your approach can kind of change game to game and kind of adapt on the fly, would you say?
I kind of have that just for the being able to adjust to all the pitchers and the way they pitch to me. So I really focus on driving opposite field, and then if they pitch in, I just react and pull it.
Yeah, well, hey, it is certainly a ton of fun to watch you pull home runs. They go, I love watching them in that parking lot. It's a very satisfying place to be doing at Coastal Carolina. Now, I want to talk a little bit about being at Coastal Carolina and kind of how you got to this point in your career. So, what was your recruiting process like?
So my recruiting process was, I mean, I guess you could say kind of slower. I didn't get much offers. I went to a lot of camps the summer going into my senior year, so it was fairly late. I came down to a coastal camp Labor Day weekend, and I pretty much played the best baseball I've played ever. And of course, they saw me and they offered me a spot on the team, and I couldn't turn it down. So,
Absolutely. Now, were there other schools you were looking at, or was it just like, hey, look, this is here, I'm taking this. There's no doubt in my mind.
yeah, there's a few like where I'm from, Pennsylvania, like a few schools down there or up there, but I didn't want to stay in Pennsylvania. I wanted to come south for the warmer weather.
Yeah.
So as soon as they offered me, I was like, I'm in.
Yeah, it's hey, play baseball, be by the beach, wear cool colors, be tan all the time. That sounds like a pretty good sales pitch to me. I would sign up.
Exactly.
But and being at Coastal Carolina, do you have a favorite part of the facility or a favorite part of being part of the Chanticleer baseball program? I guess those are two entirely different things. So feel free to take the answer wherever you want with this one.
I love just being around this place. The weather is perfect. The staff is awesome. The players and the team are just, I mean, I can't ask for much more. And the field, I mean, I can't, the field is like great, especially under the lights. And sometimes we get like this cool sunset, so where it's like purplish, and it's just sweet.
Oh, yeah. And I saw tons of pictures from over the weekend, those late night games where it's a little muggy out and there's all the fog on the field, too. Where, like, I know Brian Quigley, of course, if you know anything about coastal baseball, you probably know Brian Quigley. But he was posting videos and pictures, and I was like, geez, it looks like ghosts are about to come out of the outfield and play this baseball game with them, which would be sick. And if there is a school to do it at, I feel like it coastal is right up the alley for that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
Now, with the season being here and approaching and, you know, continuing to go, we're moving towards conference play for you guys. Has there been a particular teammate who's really stood out to you, who's kind of maybe surprised you, or maybe you weren't expecting them to perform as well as they've been expecting?
Not really. I mean, we expect highly of all the guys, but recently Jake Books has been playing very well. And he had a little playing time last year, but recently he's been putting on a show, which I thoroughly enjoy. I love watching him play. And, I mean, all the guys are, I mean, I think they're not even at their peak right now, and we're just playing good ball.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, coming off the win you guys just had in the midweek against the team that was ranked number one before this week, and That was a great ball game, but you guys just play very cohesively, and it seems like Coastal Carolina is one of those schools where the team is just, like, so close. Like, I feel like if you go anywhere, like, no one goes anywhere alone at Coastal Carolina. Like, oh, if we're going to go get food, there's going to be six different of my teammates who probably want to go with me. So what would you say drives that culture and that cohesiveness of the team?
I think it's the staff. The staff starts it off right away of just building the relationships within the players. And then the players in the locker room, it's just like a perfect environment to just all hang out, be around. I mean, in this locker room, we have video games to play. So we're playing here video games and just hanging out, listening to music.
Yeah, so I remember Derek showed me you guys had a Nintendo Switch in the locker room. Do you hop on it at all? Are you partaking in the video games, or are you just one of the guys who watches while I'm sure upperclassmen are at each other's throat on the video games?
No, recently I haven't been playing, but once in a while I'll go play Wii Golf and stuff like that. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, I can imagine the Wii Golf gets pretty intense in the locker room. It seems like one of those places where anything can happen. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And they'll have competitions, see who can hit hole-in-ones and stuff like that. It's awesome.
I feel like you give a college baseball player a Nintendo Switch or any game console and 30 of their buddies, something weird is going to end up happening, especially the Coastal locker room. It's a great dynamic the way it's set up, too, where it's essentially – you're essentially in the Roman Coliseum. You got the seats around the edges. Everybody's focused on the center. It's a really great setup.
Yeah, it's open. Everyone's looking – I mean, I guess you're looking at each other. You can see everything. It's a good, it's a good setup.
You don't have an option, but there's nothing that drives me up the wall more than, like, the cram locker rooms where you're like, you can't really see your buddies and you can't really hang out. I feel like if – I say this all the time, but if there were a bar that were like, hey, this is going to be like a locker room, like it's going to be like your college locker room, I would spend all my money on the cover fee to get in, you know, because it's just so much fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, everyone. We're going to take a quick break from our discussion to hear a couple ads from our sponsors.
In 10 days, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
With Coastal, I know I did say being by the beach, you know, come down here, play baseball, be by the beach. Do you have the opportunities to go to the beach ever? Or is it something where you're so slammed you guys don't really get time to take a day and just kind of go relax by the beach?
Yeah, we have days that we can go. Like today it was technically an off day. We just had lift and we could do whatever we want afterwards. So a lot of the guys go fishing or just play video games. But yeah, we definitely do have time to go to the beach if you want to go to the beach.
Okay, yeah, because like playing in college, whenever we played a team that was by the beach, I was always like so jealous. I was always like, these guys just play baseball and then they don't go to school. They just go to the beach and hang out for the rest of the day. Like, my perception is entirely wrong. Don't get me wrong. I know it's wrong, but it's a fun perception to have. I appreciate you weighing in with the actual truth and the actual facts on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, with the season, you know, moving to Sunbelt action, and of course, this is a conference where I say it's like the Power Six conference. It's right outside. I remember my freshman year, I played at App State. It was a very hitter-friendly conference, and I learned that very fast on the mound. But there's a ton of talent, a ton of fun teams to go and play. So I'm just curious, do you have a stadium you're particularly excited to go play in, or just like a fan base you're excited to go hear? Obviously, they aren't going to be super nice to you, but learn more about and get to experience.
Actually, Southern Miss. I'm actually very excited to go see them. Heard their stadium is awesome. It's going to be probably packed and might get a little chippy with the fans, but that's the best. So.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. That's a great selection in terms of just venue. The Pete is phenomenal. They posted a video yesterday actually showing they updated their lights. So hopefully you guys won't see too many light shows for your sake, because of course, No one's doing a light show when something bad happens to their team. So Hopefully you won't see the lights. But the fans down there, they care a lot about baseball, and They will let you know it in a way that it sounds like you're expecting. And I feel like the Coastal Carolina team is one of those teams where it's like, the more you chirp these guys, like, just the better they're gonna do against you. Like, I feel like that's part of your guys' DNA.
Yeah, it's almost like irritates us and it makes us play better, but we like all the fans and it's awesome.
Yeah, and I will say, you picked a great series. There's a ton of great places to go in the Sun Belt, but if, you know, you really can't go wrong. So great answer there. But Blake, thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to talk to us here on the Shock Factor podcast. I can't tell you how much I appreciate and how excited I am to watch you and the glorious beard continue to mash home runs.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
Now, there were a ton of good things in what Blake had to say, but I think my favorite is the fact that, like, he's just a gritty dude. Like, he had a few offers out of high school, went down to Coastal Carolina. They offered him, he saw the place, he looked around, he was like, yeah, no, that makes sense, I'll go here. And he's really just thrived. And I think that's something that really speaks to just how the recruiting process, it doesn't always have to be pretty. I didn't have a pretty recruiting process. I had one offer out of high school. I took it and just got my foot in the door. And Blake, for him, it sounded like, you know, it wasn't the easiest process. Maybe he wasn't always the star. But his senior year, he went down to that camp at Coastal, performed super well, and earned himself a spot on the team. And it's clearly paid off on both ends because, you know, he's getting a good education, getting to play college ball at one of the coolest places I personally can think of. But also, they're getting a guy who hits a lot of home runs for him. So it's definitely a good deal for both sides of the bargain. Now stay tuned for a weekend preview after a short ad from some of our sponsors. Baseball barbecue started when a broken grill fork and a cracked bat came together to make the perfect grill tool. Now Baseball Barbecue makes patented bat handle barbecue tools and cutting boards that are licensed for the best teams in college baseball. Fun and functional, Baseball Barbecue products are perfect for casual fans and serious grillers alike, and a great way to out-tailgate your rivals. Visit baseballbarbecue.com/D1Baseball to find the perfect grilling gift for the college baseball fan in your life. Thank you, of course, to our sponsors. Thank you for the handsome voice actor who did that ad read. I don't know how we locked that guy down, but shout out to him. But now that we are back, weekend 5 of college baseball is officially here. And we get conference play, which is when things start to feel a lot more serious. Fans, you know, they're at each other's throats on Twitter a little bit more. It's the training wheels of out-of-conference play have been kicked off for fans, for players alike, and it's time to really get going. With SEC conference play starting, here are the series I am keeping an eye on. First off, we have Florida and Texas A&M. Florida has had an interesting start so far to this season. They've had a lot of young talent on the team, really good talent, But they've lost six games so far, and their 10-6 record surprises a lot of people. I'm surprised by it. But I think this weekend provides a really tough opportunity for them to get back on track, because if you can play good baseball against this Texas A&M team, you're going to have confidence going into the week, and you're going to have confidence going into the rest of your opponents, because it's a really good Texas A&M team they're facing. Texas A&M is still undefeated, 17-0 on the season. They are one of two remaining undefeated teams. The only other undefeated team is Florida State, but their pitching staff has been absolutely unreal, and the bats are insanely hot for this team. I want to talk about the pitching staff. They hired pitching coach Max Wiener, who is the director of pitch development for the Seattle Mariners, or some fancy title. He was really high up in the Mariners pitch design and pitch coaching hierarchy, if you will. And he decided to take a job at Texas A&M. He's a young guy. He went to UCF. I think he graduated in 2017. And he's already back being a pitching coach and having a ton of success doing it. So I want to give a shout out to Max Wiener, because it's absolutely awesome what he has done with this Texas A&M staff. Now, right now, they are third in the nation in team strikeouts, where they have 213 in 148 innings pitched. Braden Montgomery currently has 31 RBIs on the season so far. He's been a huge impact transfer for them, and I can't wait to see how he performs in SEC play. And of course, they had a big week this week with multiple walk-offs, but one of the biggest coming from our friend Hayden Schott, delivering a walk-off RBI single against the Rhode Island Rams. So don't let Schott get hot. Next up, we have Wake Forest and Virginia, which is another series I'll be tuning into. Both teams did not perform super well last weekend. Virginia dropped their series to Miami in a way that wasn't very fun to watch, in terms of I care about these guys and I want what's best for them, and it didn't feel like what was best for them. On the converse side of it, Miami was super impressive. They're a very good ball club, and you're going to want to tune into them. We'll get more into them in a little bit here. But Wake Forest dropped their series to Duke as well. I know going into the weekend, it's not exactly how either team expected to perform, but I think with them playing each other this weekend, one of these two teams is going to figure it out, and it'll be a bloodbath, or both of these teams are going to get right back on track, and we're going to get a really, really good series. Virginia definitely has some question marks when it comes to pitching, but I believe in pitching coach Drew Dickinson. He could take this guy and turn him into a winner, so I believe in him. But they definitely have bats that can always pull off a comeback win, like Griff O'Farrell, Casey Sauke, Ethan Anderson, and basically their whole lineup. Wake Forest, of course, has one of the best starting rotations in the nation. They're tough to beat. And I think they'll walk away with a couple of wins here or there. I don't know how the series will go exactly, but I wouldn't be surprised if either team won, because they're both super talented. I know Nick Kurtz hasn't had the start to the season that everyone's kind of been expecting out of him, but that being the case, he's still having a super good start to the season. Like, Nick Kurtz standards, probably not what he wants to be doing, but he's still doing really well. And then, of course, Seaver King has been absolutely incredible for Wake Forest. I mean, I feel like we call two-way guys, if you pitch and if you hit, you're a two-way guy. I feel like if you can play center field and shortstop, that should make you a two-way guy. Those are two very different things on the baseball field that are being asked of you. And he continues to just be highly successful at both, while also just absolutely mashing home runs. Now, the next series I'm looking forward to is going to be Miami versus UNC. Miami is definitely a team to watch in the ACC this year. If you haven't heard of Danny Cuvee, he is one of my favorite freshmen to watch. He leads all of Division I freshmen in hits with 30 and OPS with a 1.487. And he's doing all this while sitting at second place in home runs with 9 and 26 RBIs and slugging percentage with 955. Their second baseman, Blake Sear, also played a huge role in their comeback wins against Virginia last weekend, where they took the series 2 out of 3. Now, as far as UNC, they are 16-2 heading into the weekend and are coming off a nice week in which they swept Pitt in a 3-game series and then swept Rutgers in 2 midweek games. And these were really competitive midweek games. They involved a lot of high-octane innings on the mound. So I'm excited to see how their pitching staff bounces back after having a heavier workload than usual. That being the case, they certainly have an offense that can afford for their pitchers to give up a few. Dudes like Casey Cook hitting over 400 with three bombs, or Alberto Osuna hitting 385 with five home runs, which has been really cool. He's kind of been back to his first year self at UNC, which is a very good thing because his first year self absolutely mashed. I know last season he kind of battled through injury and wasn't as productive for him, but now that he's back, he's super productive, and it's a ton of fun to watch. Then, of course, they have center fielder Vance Honeycutt, who not only is hitting 357 with six home runs to his name, but I think he'll likely take away at least five home runs this season in center field. He is insanely fun to watch. I feel like last season he was robbing a home run a weekend. He was a little banged up, still playing through injury, and still doing really well. So I'm excited now that he's back and healthy to see how he does. Now, moving along, another series I'm very excited for has got to be Oklahoma versus TCU. This Oklahoma ball club is one that I think has ability to turn a lot of heads. They're sitting at 10-6 on the season and have had some really impressive wins, such as their 5-1 win over Tennessee, which this is a very good Tennessee ball club. They're coming off a series sweep of UCF, but did drop a midweek at home against Oklahoma State, which I think is a very underrated rivalry. Now, looking over at their opponent, TCU, they will definitely have a challenge this week. They're currently 15-2 on the season and have at times really looked like a complete ball club. TCU, of course, has one of the best catchers in the nation behind the plate in Carson Bowen, and they also have Peyton Tully, who's a two-way guy that's a ton of fun to watch. He has the ability to produce a lot of home runs and then get on the bump and does a really good job of not letting others hit home runs. So I'm expecting him to have a big series, but all in all, I expect this to just be a really great series. I think it's two tough teams coming together that could really, you know, jumpstart their season in a big way in conference play. Now that we've gone over those series and all the series that I'm excited to watch this weekend, I personally will be at the Florida and Texas A&M series because those are two ball clubs that I've loved watching so far this season, so why not see them both at the same time? Por que no los dos? It's a very fun thing. But now that we have that covered, we're going to head into going over some statistical leaders. We're talking home runs. We're talking strikeouts. The sexiest stats, of course, that players can have on both respective sides of the ball. Where this weekend, it's exciting. And it's exciting because the home run race is getting tight. Right now, we have Georgia's Charlie Condon in first place with 13 bombs. Every time someone's like getting close to him, he just has another multi-home run game. It's insane. Charlie's got one of the most impactful swings when in terms of just like being short, being smooth, being able to drive the ball to all fields. Kid can do it all. Then right behind him, we have Grant Nipp out of Campbell, who's a catcher. He's a catcher, but he's also a closing pitcher, which I think should be talked about more. He didn't know he was going to be a pitcher in college. He didn't know he was going to be pitching this year. Then on scout day, he got on the mound, 398. Now he's had 12 home runs on the season as well. I think he's already got two saves and 3.1 innings pitched, but he's a guy who definitely needs to be getting more attention. I met him a few weeks ago. He's absolutely massive. If you see this guy hit home runs and then you see him in person, it's like, okay, yeah, no, makes sense. Now, next up on the list, we have Blake Barthel from Coastal Carolina and Drew Burris from Georgia Tech, who are both tied at 10 apiece. Once Georgia Tech and Georgia, so Drew Burris and Charlie Condon, finish up their game, it got suspended. They'll have at least one more home run in the Drew Burris category because he's hit one, and then the game got suspended, so it doesn't count towards his stats yet. But once the game gets finished, it'll count, and he'll have at least 11 home runs on the season. Blake Barthel is coming off a week. Last week, if we were doing this, I would say Blake Barthel has hit three home runs this season. Blake Barthel hit seven home runs this week. We know that. We've talked about that. It's great. It's insane. What is he doing? How is he doing it? I don't know. Keep doing it. Now that we have covered the guys who can hit baseballs far, and who are hitting baseballs out at the highest rate possible in the college level right now, we're going to talk about the guys who get on the mound and try to not let that happen and talk about the guys who are leading the nation in strikeouts. So first off, we have Winthrop's Riley Huge, who last weekend struck out 20 batters in 7 innings, which, or in 7.2 innings, sorry, I always forget the .2, which is absolutely insane. The kid is, he's crafty, but also powerful on the mound. I don't know the best way to describe him, but he's just an absolute magician. I think that's the best way to describe him. Next up, we have Wake Forest's Chase Burns, who, if you're surprised by this, wake up. He throws 101 miles an hour from time to time. He currently has 43, which put him in second place behind Riley Hughes' 48 strikeouts. But Chase Burns this weekend looked really impressive. He had 14 strikeouts against this very talented Duke lineup, and he was fired up. His 98th pitch of his outing was 101 miles an hour. And anytime you're throwing your pitch count in the higher 90s and your velocity is higher than that, that's just not nice to everybody else who's watching, everybody else who's really trying to play the game. Now, speaking of guys who throw insanely hard for no reason at all other than just to kind of do it, we got Brody Brecht from the University of Iowa sitting at 42 strikeouts, and he's tied with Ryan Johnson from Dallas Baptist, who also has 42 strikeouts. But Brody Brecht and Ryan Johnson get their 42 strikeouts in very different ways. Brody Brecht has a fastball that'll sit in that 100-mile-an-hour range, and he has one of the best sliders in all of college baseball. The thing is an absolute hell ball. It just dives out of the zone, and he's throwing it in the mid to upper 80s, sometimes in the low 90s, which is just like, why are you doing that, dude? Like, what is the point? Now, Ryan Johnson on the other side of things, he is just an absolute command freak. We're talking in 26 innings this season. He's only walked three batters while striking out 42. And the kid, he comes from a weirder arm slot. It's way, I don't know how to describe it other than it is definitely not traditional. And he just pounds the zone. He attacks hitters early in counts and does a really great job of doing it. So shout out to Ryan Johnson of Dallas Baptist. Now that's all we have for this week of the Shock Factor podcast. Make sure to subscribe and follow along wherever you're getting your podcast so you never miss an episode, because sometimes we get a little sporadic on when Steven decides to release these. So make sure to always have your notifications on so you know about it. But thank you so much for tuning in to the Shock Factor podcast on the D1 Baseball Network. Thank you to our sponsors, Baseball Barbecue and Soldier Sports, for always making sure we're taken care of and we can make the Shock Factor possible. And of course, finishing it out, thank you very much to Blake Barthel for taking the time out of his busy schedule, out of his busy time having a nice beard. I feel like that probably takes up some time too, just from people stopping you going, hey man, really cool beard. Hey man, thanks. That's got to take some time too. So he took time out of doing that to talk to us, which is really cool. And we really appreciate him for doing it. And as always, have a great rest of your week.
The Shock Factor podcast is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcasts.